Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celenti, and it's February 5th, 2025. And we're with us again, honored to be, the man of men, Judge Andrew Napolitano, someone that writes about, knows about, and lives to the truth of what used to be called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We got no rights no more. And the Constitution, I mean, this judge, thanks for being here. This article you have coming out, there's no Constitution left. They destroyed it over here.
Gerald, it's a pleasure to be with you. As always, I had a working title, and it was, Do We Still Have a Constitution? But I have used that working title so many times on other columns, I decided to zero in on the Constitution and tariffs. And the Supreme Court has upheld the constitutionality of tariffs imposed by the president because the court has ruled they are an instrument of his foreign policy. And in foreign policy, the president is supreme. He doesn't share any authority with the Congress. So every president from FDR, this Supreme Court opinion was in 1936, to the present, has enjoyed the ability of and exercised the power to impose tariffs and embargoes, and they are constitutional. What is unique about them? I don't want to get into the economics because that's your field, not mine. What is unique about them is that they're imposed by the president, but a violation of them is a crime. Now, that's a serious constitutional issue, because the president can't create crimes, only the Congress can. But in this 1936 case, which involved the sale of armaments to Bolivia, FDR prohibited the armaments. The American company sold them anyway. The company was indicted. The trial judge threw it out, saying FDR can't make something a crime. And the Supreme Court said, yes, he can. So that's still good law today. I doubt that Trump is familiar with the case, but he and his people are relying on valid law when he imposes these tariffs. My own view is that he got taken to the cleaners on Mexico, because those 10,000 troops that she put there, probably 9,999 are on the payroll of the cartels.
Well, he backtracks on everything.
He does seem to backtrack.
Not does seem to. Let's go by the facts. You talked about Mexico and the tariffs. When I get into office, the first day I'm going to impose 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada. He gets into office. I changed my mind. I'm going to make it February 1st. February 1st came. He did it. February 3rd came. He reversed it. We're going to make it another 30 days. He backtracks on everything.
I'm going to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. Well, it may take me 48 hours. Backtracked. I hope he backtracks on the truly absurd, utterly immoral, profoundly unconstitutional, and lawless threat yesterday for the United States to take over the Gaza Strip, made in the presence of a beaming, gloating war criminal by the name of Benjamin Netanyahu.
The United States, the U.S., he said, the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and will do a job with it too. You ready? We'll own it. We'll own it. I mean, this is disgusting.
I think he still thinks like a real estate developer. I think his son-in-law probably told him, steal this property, let me develop it, and we'll all make a fortune selling beachfront mansions to rich Israelis, Americans, Russians, Europeans, Chinese, whoever can afford them. What are they going to do with 2 million Palestinians?
Oh, wait, no, move them, get them out of there. Oh, here, you want to do with them? This is from his little arrogant son-in-law, Jared Kushner, back in March of last year. He actually said it in February of last year. He said, Gaza waterfront property, it could be very valuable. if the people would focus on building up livelihoods. It's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but I think from Israel's perspective, I would do the best to move the people out of there and clean it up. So, I would do the best to move the people out of there and clean it up. This is disgusting.
It's absolutely.
And the arrogance. Disgusting. And where is the outrage? The arrogance of this little bastard spewing out this crap. And then here's his daddy-in-law, the president of the United States, saying, we will take over, U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it too.
He referred to it as we will make it into the Riviera of the Middle East. Yeah. I just don't know that he has any appreciation for the concept of limited government. He wants to seize Greenland. He wants to seize the Panama Canal. He wants to tell Egypt and Jordan that they have to take 750,000 Palestinians. If Egypt and Jordan agreed to that, General al-Sisi would be deposed and King Abdullah would be deposed. I don't even know if people advise Trump of that.
You know, he also said, this little arrogant son-in-law of his, to move the Palestinians into the Negev Desert. I would just bulldoze something in the Negev and move the people out there.
Wow.
This is back in February last year.
Last February, before Trump got reelected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess Jared has been whispering into his father-in-law's ear. Unless, Gerald, this is one of those weird suggestions of his as some sort of a negotiating ploy to keep Netanyahu at bay. I don't know.
No,
I do know that sometimes he makes outrageous demands and then settles for a lot less, which is a legitimate negotiating technique. But to demand something that is unconstitutional, immoral, unlawful, impractical, even dreadful, there's no place in the American presidency.
This, you know, you were talking about in your article that you wrote, it's coming out tomorrow, about the presidency. You mentioned this guy who, the Supreme Court guy, that it said, you mentioned something that he was from the UK.
Yes.
And he kind of modeled it after the king.
Yes, they analogized the American presidency to the British king. This opinion is really so weird. He claims, this justice of the Supreme Court, born in the UK, came to the US as a young man, was a senator from Utah, Nevada. FDR put him on the court. That's his background. He claims that at the moment the Constitution was ratified, powers magically came across the Atlantic Ocean from George III to George Washington. And those powers stayed with the American president. Well, if James Madison and Thomas Jefferson had heard this, they would have condemned it unambiguously.
The point is that our president is now like the king.
Yes. Yes.
And we even have that picture.
Donald Trump is pushing the envelope on all of it. Look, do I think there should be a Department of Education? Absolutely not. Is it authorized by the Constitution? Absolutely not. But you can't undo it by locking people out of their offices. You got to undo it by legislation. You got to undo it the proper legal way.
I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a dictatorship. He's going to do anything that he wants. He's power hungry, mad. By the way, I used to do Alex Jones. I'm not on anymore. And I think one of the reasons, and I was for years.
Why would you not be on? Your great asset to Alex. We both know him well.
Yep.
Although I'm not on anymore either. No one has said anything to me. They just stopped calling.
But I used to host a week, every week.
Right.
And I think it's because I won't bow down to Trump or suck up to Musk. And going back,
well, you wouldn't be Gerald Celente if you did.
I will, yeah. And I'm just going to tell you what happened. I put up a clip on X, and I said about Trump. I said he lied the way he keeps lying. We mentioned what he said. I'm going to end that war in 24 hours. Then after he got elected, that war is going to end even before I get into office in Ukraine. It keeps going. And now there's information that more armaments going there. Is that correct, Judge?
To Ukraine, yes. And $1 billion just authorized to Netanyahu.
A billion.
$1 billion in one tranche.
Yep.
That's bigger than the annual budget of the IDF. It's an enormous amount of killing material. But anyway, I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're not interrupting at all. You're making good points. Number two, we talked about it. He,
Alex?
No, the other thing that Trump said, he promised to
end the war in 24 hours?
Yep. And there was another one he promised to, the tariffs.
Right.
And he backtracked on that. Number three, on January 23rd, when he spoke to the Davos gang, he said, I'm going to make sure they lower interest rates. These interest rates are too high. I'm going to do what I can to lower them. The Fed kept interest rates where they were last week. And now he came out and said, they did a wonderful job. I agree with them.
I often wonder if he understands economics 101. I often wonder if he understands that words have meaning and consequences, because he seems to say things off the top of his head on day one, and then he'll say the opposite off the top of his head on day three.
Yeah. He goes on. He said it. He goes, he keeps lying his way in and out. He says one thing and does another thing. But this whole thing about Gaza, that he supports the permanent resettlement of Palestinians. And was he going to build a Trump Tower on that valuable waterfront property?
Oh, I'm sure that he and Jared Kushner are dreaming about that.
So going back to what you were writing about in your article about tariffs in the Constitution, and the president becoming the king. And this is what we're going through now. So anyway, you should see the hate that I got for stating those three things on X.
Where did you get hatred?
For putting out those three things that Trump said he would put tariffs on when he came in, and he didn't. He backtracked, that he said he would do something to lower interest rates, and now he said it was good that they didn't. And that he said he would end the war in 24 hours, and he didn't. These are lies. How could people keep swallowing these lies? For me saying that, you should see, there was about 50,000 comments on it.
Wow. Well, I'm disappointed in Alex because he thrives on controversy, and he should have you on even more rather than less.
I think he was told to take me off.
Wow. Well, I don't know who could tell him that.
Well, the people that are going to be behind him. Is he going to go to the White House? He's a Trump fan. Now, very disappointed, very hurt, actually, because I've known him a lot of years. We both seen him, and I used to go out to dinner with him and, whole thing. And so I'm just saying this Trump presidency is going to be a monarchy. And there's a cult behind him, because I'm telling you from what happened to me, the hatred that I got for putting three facts out there. And I'm telling you, it was calling me, names, this and that. Mm. So we're into a very dangerous period, as I see it, Judge, that we're moving into here.
We are. We went from a president who didn't know what was going on and gave away his power to his aides, who all believed in forever wars, to a president who's a megalomaniac and who has no respect for the Constitution whatsoever, and has given away his power to private groups. I mean, workers showed up and Elon Musk's people said, sorry, you don't work here anymore. Now, those people do not have security clearances. They're not confirmed by the Senate. They're not federal employees. What right do they have to walk into somebody's office and say, hey, buddy, get out of here and give me your computer? That's what's happening. That is not the way to trim the government. The way to trim the government right now, while he's on this honeymoon, is to present an omnibus package to the Congress. Get rid of the Department of Education. Get rid of the CIA. Get rid of the FBI. Get rid of the Department of Homeland Security. Get rid of all these excess things that have developed and grown and metastasized since the Bush-Cheney years, none of which is authorized by the Constitution. Do it by legislation. Do it in one piece of legislation and do it now. Instead, we get these executive orders every day, executive order, executive order, executive order. I don't even know if he reads this stuff. He signs them with a magic marker, for gosh sakes. Who signs their name with a magic marker? All right, I don't want to get personal. He's been my friend for many years. And when they get challenged in court, the first thing the judges do is hold them up because you've got to figure out what's going on here. Wait a minute. You told the whole federal government not to spend any money, even though Congress has authorized it, and you yourself, the first time around, signed some of this into legislation. Got to hold up on this thing and look at the effects of it. Time after time after time, this keeps happening. And he's only been in office 2 weeks.
It's amazing. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a dictatorship that we're going to be living under, the way I see it. And by the deeds, you shall know him. And his deeds, he says one thing and does another thing and does whatever he wants. He's in full power. And by the way, going back to the Israeli issue, we wrote about it and before all this happened. When you look at all the people that he brought into his government.
Oh, to a person, they are ardent Zionists. Even Tulsi Gabbard, who's about the best you're going to get in that job on mass surveillance, and who recognizes that Edward Snowden is a patriot. Even she is a Zionist.
Yep. And now this thing that he came out with, that we're going to take over the... What right does America have to be over there?
None.
We have no right. But again, he wants Greenland. He's taking back the Panama Canal. And I want your house, I want this, I want that, and I'm going to do anything I want. Don't you know who I am? Oh, by the way, a daddy's boy, just to make this clear. I had lunch with his brother, Robert, back in 2017. Robert passed away. Robert told me the father, back I think it was 2002 when he died, left him over $500 million worth of real estate property. So he's a spoiled boy with a bad attitude, as I see it.
One of their nieces cataloged all of this, and one of the recipients of a chunk of that $500 million was his sister, then a sitting federal judge. And the federal judiciary opened up an investigation of it on the basis of the niece's allegations. And the judge, a dear friend of mine, I loved her. She also has passed away. Resigned from the bench so as to stop the investigation.
Well, here we are, Judge. It's just, I'm very concerned about the future of this country and the loss
and yet,
of
Gerald, our- so many of our friends, libertarians, small government people, conservative Republicans, they still love him and support whatever he says. So they have yet to be victimized by any of these executive orders, and they don't care about the Constitution. If he can end a department on his own, can he add a department on his own? They don't want to hear that. When I say that, they don't want to hear it.
He's going to do anything he wants. Anything he wants. And who do you have coming up, Judge?
I have our dear friend, one of your biggest admirers, Phil Giraldi, and another one of your biggest admirers, and your neighbor, Scott Ritter, as well as Matt Ho and Max Blumenthal.
Oh, great. Yeah, everybody go to Judging Freedom. I'm very interested what Max Blumenthal is going to have to say about this, about the Trump's taking over Gaza.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have some very strong opinions on that.
Yep. So go to Judging Freedom, everyone. The people that Judge Napolitano has on, and it's really about freedom. They speak their mind and heart and soul, and you can't find it anywhere else. Thanks so much for being here, Judge.
Thank you, Gerald. All the best, my dear friend. See you again soon. Bye-bye.